Okay. Now we're recording. Last week we talked about the shade. We've been talking about what it means to be in the shade, but there's a shade in a good sense and a shade in a bad sense. Hosea 4:11-13 says, "Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery." Now, most of us think in terms of shade being good. Didn't realize I was quiet, so... Okay, well, I'm talking loud. There we go. So they go because the shade is good. Now, some of you guys right now, the shade is good. Some of you, the shade's not quite so good, right? But, you know, how many would have come to worship the Lord if they'd have known that it was going to be 95 degrees out here and there was no shade? Might have made us hesitate, right? It's a lot easier. Now, there's nothing wrong with... You know, you'd kind of be a little weird if you stood out in 95 degrees rather than when there was shade available. But if that shade is the reason you go, if the shade's the reason you do things, that's what the scripture's talking about. It's talking about they went and they would burn incense on the hills to their quote, gods, because the shade was good. And a lot of times there's an attitude within our time now of, hey, as long as the shade is good, I'll serve the Lord. As long as things are going my way and everything's all right, I'll serve the Lord. As long as it appeals to me and agrees with me, then I'll serve the Lord. And what we talked about last week is still the main point that I want to make today. And that's that God can do whatever He wants. Without that understanding, we don't understand lordship. The issue of lordship is that God can do whatever He wants. And that means He can do whatever He wants with me. Now, I know what I want. Probably all you guys know what you want. But reality is, God can do whatever He wants, period. There's these amazing things about that. One of them, and some of them might offend what we think are our sensibilities, what we think are the things that make logical sense to us or anything else. But we think about Job, we talked about last week. Job did not suffer for unrighteousness. He suffered in spite of his righteousness. In fact, Job 1:1-2, right at the very start of the book, says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil." Now, that's a pretty good guy. That's a pretty good guy. He ends up going through an awful lot of horrible stuff. It's an amazing, amazing story. And I know some people kind of rationalize it by saying things like, oh yeah, but in the end, God restored all that stuff. Now, let me ask how many of you, if you were to lose all your children in a terrible way and then got some new ones, would go, oh, it's all better now? You wouldn't. Job went through horrible trial. There's no way around that. And you say, why? Was it fair? I'm going to try to get you to understand something here. That in the way we think of fair, God is not fair. Not in the way we think of fair. God is just. And He does see this big picture. And He does understand that the life everlasting, the life to come, is what really matters. And that this life is just a spot and a blur in the midst of eternity. And God understands that. We don't get that. This is the only thing we've ever known. This is the only life we relate to. And so now it's our natural tendency to think this is the priority. But God's trying to show us that this is not the priority. It's not. Now, we see these other cases where the Lord honors and uses many who even had great failings. And how is that fair? You know? How's that fair to Job? And here's the thing, guys. Don't try to explain this stuff away. Just accept that God is God, and therefore He can do whatever He wants with His creation. And that's why anything good in our lives is a mercy, a grace. anything good in our life is to be given thanks for. Thank you, Lord, that we're here today, we can breathe. Thank you, Lord, that I still got out of bed this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I still have breath in my lungs with which I might come and praise you here today. Theologians spend way too much time trying to define God as they think he ought to be, rather than just seeing who God is. If you go to the Bible and you start reading it with preconceived ideas about how, oh, God just couldn't be like that, or God just couldn't be like this, or God would never do that, or God would never do this, you're going to misunderstand a good part of the Bible. And in fact, you're going to skip over a lot of the parts that really matter. They all matter. But you'll find yourself explaining things away. There's been a meme running on the projector for a while now. It's a quote from David Platt, and it says, "We desperately need to explore how much of our understanding of the gospel is American and how much is biblical." This is a really powerful question. And you could say this about any culture, because oftentimes, whatever form of Christianity rises over time, and it ends up kind of replicating its culture. And that can be a very bad thing. We need to desperately examine how much of our understanding of the gospel is American and how much is biblical, because culture can radically influence our view of God, our morality, what Scripture is actually saying. I grew up in Alaska, kind of a macho guy state, and all this kind of stuff. The culture there was very independent, very, you got to be a tough guy. And if you work hard, you're a good guy no matter what else you do, that kind of stuff. And it does, that culture, that mentality did not mesh so well with scriptures like love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. See, I grew up in a place not really unlike Idaho, where, somebody slaps you in the face, you punch them hard, right? That's the way I grew up. That's the culture that permeates throughout. And yet, the Bible says, love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. How does our culture affect our understanding of what God would have us to do and who God would have us to be? It starts with admitting we've been affected. It starts with admitting that there are things in the Bible that I see that turn the other cheek stuff, and I'd rather just skip that part. I see that 70 times 7 thing, which is just means an infinite number of times. I want to skip that part. Lord, how should I forgive? Or the guy when he says, Jesus says, love your neighbor, and the lawyer says, okay, who's my neighbor? Man, I want to like certain neighbors and not like the other ones. Believe me. And yet God says, love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. Think about it. Does it affect us? Here's the thing. You may not want God to be the God who says, forgive the others no matter what. Who says, love your enemies. Who says, bless those who persecute you. But that is the God in the Word. That's the God in the Word. Here again, God can be whatever He wants. And He can do whatever He wants. And He can tell me to do whatever He wants. Because He's God. He does not bow to some American idol. I'm not talking about the TV show. Although it could be. That's your idol. I don't know. But there are many, many American idols, just as I'm sure there are in countries all over the place with their own. But here, our primary idols, I would say, have to do with a thirst for wealth and comfort and convenience. The idea, not so much of love my enemies and bless those who persecute me, but rather just get rid of them. I grew up in that culture. How much does that affect the way I see the Scripture? Now think about this whole thing, because this typical view of American Christianity is all about being in the shade. It really is. It's about how can I live the easiest life possible? In whatever way that I think that might come into play, how can I live my life in the easiest and most comfortable way possible, rather than being sacrificed on the altar for Jesus? Now, consider this just for a moment. I was just thinking about this in my head, and I actually kind of broke out laughing. I was just by myself working in my shop. And it's still, I just kind of broke out laughing. I thought about, what if, I know this part's not funny, but what about somebody in a heavily persecuted country who has just had his children killed for the name of Jesus, has been tortured for the name of Jesus, is on a prison floor knowing that he will be killed for the name of Jesus, and somebody brings in a TV and turns on the Joel Osteen show. Just for a moment, consider this. Maybe the guy wants to read his best life now at that point. Do you see how ridiculous it is in a setting that God describes as something that is pretty normal in the Christian life? That's how much our world has been deceived by many things. And if you think that this is mean, remember what the Lord said about false teachers. It says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Keep that one in mind. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is not just a charge to Timothy, it's a charge to me, and it's a charge to you. You know, it's unique that of all people, the man who said this was Benny Hinn, who has many issues himself. But he was over in a foreign country, and he said he'd been preaching prosperity gospel like crazy all over the place. He was in a foreign country, and he says he looked out on the crowd and he couldn't preach it. And he came back and he said, if you can't preach it everywhere, it's not true. And you know what? He was right. Unfortunately, he went back to teaching it. But he was right in what he said about, because what do we get? I mean, you can get a very, very large church just by saying, if you will just do what we ask you to do, God will make you rich. If you'll just put $50 in the offering plate, you will have all this money by the end of the year. God does not bless a greedy heart. God does not bless a greedy heart. Now, why does it seem like, well, why, we know that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Now, we also know there is blessing for obedience in this life. But what we know beyond all else is what God holds of highest priority is His kingdom. His kingdom. Not my kingdom, not your kingdom, His kingdom. That's at the bottom line of all this stuff. You ask, we look at things like the great persecution under Nero, where in Rome they put gutters in because they were crucifying so many Christians, they had to have some place for the blood to run off. And you go, what? Why? Do you know that as a result of that, the Christians began to scatter? They went all over the place. And they started preaching the gospel in other lands. And the word of the Lord spread throughout. And you say, would God allow that to happen just for that? Yeah. Yeah, He would. Never underestimate the lengths that God will go to bring His message to the world. And when God's people are blinded by other things and that message is not going out, He's going to shake that up. He's going to shake that up. When we start thinking God exists to serve us, we go in terrible directions. Terrible directions. Really, though, there is a God of popular, quote, Christian culture that is kind of this weak, impressionable being who just exists to serve us. That we just got to find the right church and the right formula and we can get God to do what we want. That's not how it works. God is God, and our God is a jealous God. Our God is a righteous judge. Our God can do whatever He wants, and that means He can do whatever He wants with me. It means all the bluster of humanity, all the so-called experts, the grand weapons of warfare, the powers of great economies are nothing in the sight of God Almighty. old man builds his towers and thinks he's so great. But God is great. God is mighty. Judgment is coming, my friends. Let us be found on the right side of things, serving the true God. The true God. See, the problem with a shallow imitation of Christianity is it leaves people thinking they've got it made in the shade. Can't believe I haven't used that before in this message, but they have it made in the shade. Some of you guys this morning, you got it made in the shade. Others of you are going, man, that sun is creeping in. I hope he doesn't go too much longer. But isn't it the American dream to have it made in the shade? Isn't that the goal? To have it made in the shade? The American dream. I don't want to have it made in the shade, folks. I want the light of Christ to shine on me. I would prefer to be sacrificed on the altar of truth and know that I'm serving the living God than have it made in the shade. Now, compared to many people in the world, we all have it made in the shade. Compared to many people in the world, we all have it made in the shade. But no matter how much we have, we tend to want more shade. And God wants you to put that on the altar this morning. The altar for Him. It's time for God's people to choose conviction over convenience and conscience over comfort. Let us seek to know where we've been blinded by our culture, our experience, and our teaching. May we commit ourselves unswervingly to God and His Word. And may we be a light in the darkness. And maybe more important, a light in the grayness. A light in the grayness. See, folks, what we have. What happens, the problem is we become satisfied with the grayness. And we say, well, at least we're not in the darkness anymore. We managed to get to the grayness and somehow that's enough. It's not enough. It's in the grayness that we turn to other things that take our passions and become idols. An idol is anything that takes the place that Jesus should rightfully have in your heart. There are people who worship money. There are people who worship power. There are people who worship their nation. There are people who worship all kinds of things. And it's time to worship the Lord only. See, greatest is the enemy. It feels like shade, but it is not protecting you from the sun, as in S-U-N. It's blinding you to the sun. S-O-N. That's what the grayness does. I don't want to be shaded from the sun, S-O-N. I want Him to shine as brightly on me as possible. But sometimes that brings heat and sometimes it's painful. But I want it anyway. Because He is my God and my Lord. And may He lay bare the places of my heart. May I be sacrificed on the altar of truth. Let me tell you what's far better than the shade or the grayness. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. One more time. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. Folks, there will always be people on TV, on the internet, around in various church buildings, who write books, who say things, who want to provide shade for you. They actually want to provide shade from the sun, S-O-N. They want to make you feel better about where you are. And that's one of their primary goals, is to make you feel better about where you are, because if I make you feel better about where you are, you'll keep coming to my church. And you'll keep throwing money in the plate. And they shade you. The messages actually shade you, the kind of shade that we're reading about in Hosea, the kind where they go and burn incense because the shade is good. They want to go there. The main reason they go is because they provide them that shade. Hey, you're okay. You're an American. All Americans are Christians, right? And besides that, you've got a Bible? Of course I've got a Bible. I think the only way they're going to really get Americans to read their Bibles is if they make it illegal. Then people will get their things off the shelf saying, nobody's going to tell me I can't read my Bible. But we ought to be reading it now. We ought to be reading it now. We should be able, I'll bet you if you're like me, you've got one on shelves all over your house. You got one on your tablet and one on your computer and one on your phone. Man, I'm, you know, they make pretty good paperweight if you don't read them. We need to read the Word of God and understand that God can do whatever He wants and not explain away the things that He says. See, these shades are just trying to insulate you from the true sun. It's shading you from what you don't want to be shaded from. We need to go to God and say, I want the raw truth of Your Word. I want the raw truth of Your Word. We need to choose truth over lies, and the truth is raw. It's real. And it's powerful. Scripture in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Guys, there are a lot of fables in the shade. There are a lot of fables in the shade. There are plenty of people that you can listen to, watch, or read about who will just do everything they can to say, you're okay. You're okay. You're doing great. You're doing awesome. Man, we're the best church there is. You've come here, you've made the right choice. And you can go home thinking, hey, I feel pretty good about myself. I think I'll go back. But may we never sacrifice truth on the altar of comfort. May we never sacrifice truth on the altar of comfort. See, the thing is, God is either God or He's not. He's not sort of God. He's not sort of serious about the stuff He says. He's very serious about the stuff He says. And before God, I am just His child. There are no special rules on me because of where I was born or what church I'm a part of or whatever else. There are no special rules on me. He's God, and He's God to every one of us. And if He's God, then our answer should just be yes. Just be yes. Lord, whatever. Whatever You want. Whatever You ask. Whatever You say. Whatever You say, here's the thing, guys. Nobody has it made in the shade. We have it made when we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank You, Jesus. I pray You'll just move in our hearts and stir us, God. Take us to a deeper level, Lord. Help us to shake off whatever might be an idol in our life. And just say, I have decided I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand for You, Lord Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me,
cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no. Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Lord, that whatever might happen and whatever might come, Lord, we want to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. God, that anything that maybe has been shading us from the truth, Lord, we pray you would tear that shade down. Tear it down, Lord. God, that you would be glorified, that we would not make excuses for shallowness, for emptiness, for that which is unscriptural. But God, we will seek your truth to know you, to follow you, and to be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my shining as
Well, praise the Lord and bless His name. And may the grace of God and the shadow of the Almighty follow you wherever you go.